This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Rheingeist, Nine Giant, Wiedemann, Madtree, Mount Carmel, numerous other beer breweries are calling Greater Cincinnati home. And this recent explosion in craft breweries in our region isn't just about making beer. It's also about spurring community development as the breweries create jobs and spin off other economic benefits. Soapbox is partnering with the University of Cincinnati's Niehoff Urban Studio to host a forum on these neighborhood beer entrepreneurs called Taste Great, Boost the Economy. And here to talk about that forum, which is coming up on March 11th, and how beer is boosting community development, are Soapbox editor John Fox, Michael Albarella with Nine Giant Brewing in Pleasant Ridge, and Doug Newberry from the Wiedemann Brewing Company in Newport. Good to see everybody this afternoon.
Mark.
Good afternoon.
You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John, Soapbox has been following this story about this explosion of craft brewers in the Cincinnati area. What kinds of things exactly are you seeing as you look at this story?
Well, there's so many different levels to it, but I'm interested because so many of these groups are very entrepreneurial. I mean, and the two guys that are here today can certainly talk about their stories, but it really ties in with the boom in entrepreneurialism in Cincinnati. But yet, at the same time, I find it interesting because it's a very old-fashioned kind of business. I mean, brewing beer is not what you think of when you're looking at the startup world in Cincinnati, which everybody seems to think is very high-tech, and it's all about computers and new apps and things like that. So here's a sort of this old-fashioned kind of business, but it also ties back to Cincinnati's history as a brewing center for years and our German heritage. So I just thought there's so many different layers to it that I think is really interesting. And then when you think about, obviously, Over the Rhine is a center for brewing history and brewing activity. But now, and again, these two guys can talk about their neighborhoods, but the craft beer boom has really hit some neighborhoods now and is turning into be an economic engine for a lot of these neighborhoods. And in a way that maybe we wouldn't have thought of just a few years ago.
So any idea how many craft breweries the city has at this point and how many are on the way?
Well, I went through, in preparation for this, I found 17 craft brewers in town now, and I'm sure I'm missing a few. And that counts, again, Nine Giant, which is getting ready to open this year, and a few more. And then going back to sort of the godfather of the craft brew movement, the Christian Moorlein folks in Over the Rhine. So 17 different, and they're all over the place. It's northern Kentucky, it's the northern suburbs. So it's amazing how many options you have now if you like to drink beer, and really, who doesn't?
You mentioned Christian Moorlein. They would be, I think you refer to them as a foundational brewery, right? Which means they're one of the originals, and that's the starting point. Who are some of the other foundationals we have in the city?
Well, I think of the folks that people would know now would be like Madtree and 50 West and Listerman and people like that. Now, they've only been around a few years. You know, you're talking about maybe 5 to 10 years, but certainly they were in that sort of first wave. And then now, just in the last few, within the last year, you've had Tap and Screw, which opened up on the west side. You've got Blank Slate, which is out east. 8 Ball, which opened up over in Bellevue next to the Party Source. And then I counted, 6 more, including the two guys that are here today, that are going to be opening this year. So it's an amazing wave of activity, I think.
Mike, you're one of the new breweries in town, Nine Giant. Now, when are you going to be open for business?
We're targeting September.
I've read that you consider yourself to be a beer nerd. You're a self-proclaimed beer nerd.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, why do you say you're a beer nerd, and how do I become a beer nerd? Is there a membership fee or something I pay to do that?
Not at all. it really is about just having a passion for beer, trying to learn as much as possible about beer. I choose the word nerd because I don't want to be snobbish about it. Beer is an everyman's drink, and it can be, done at a very crazy high level to where, you're getting very intricate, looking at recipes and going back in historic things, or you can just sit down and have a beer. It doesn't have to be fancy. There's nothing wrong with having a light American lager if that's what you feel like having.
How did you come up with the idea for creating Nine Giant?
really, growing up in an Italian-American family, there's a celebration about sitting down and having food and drink, you know, taking time that, you know, to just strip away the day and say, look, this is important. We meet together. Breaking bread with other people is one of the most intimate things you can do. And, you know, as looking at making a career change from architecture into doing something else, I have a real passion for making a place. I wanted to make a place where people could sit down and enjoy themselves.
So you're going to be a combination. You're going to have food and beer as well.
Correct. It's kind of like a brewery and snackery. It's kind of like brew pub light.
Describe it a little bit more to me, what Nine Giant's going to be like.
Well, we have a 3,400 square foot space in Pleasant Ridge, and it's a former toy shop, and it's one floor, wood floors, decently high ceilings. We just want to have a community meeting place, something that's very comfortable. You can sit down, relax, have a drink, have a little bit of food, just be inviting, be a part of the community, connecting with people.
Now, John uses the term beer entrepreneur. Do you feel like you're a beer entrepreneur?
I guess by definition, you know, I'm making a leap to do something that's completely entrepreneurial. You know, there's no doubt that what we do has an impact on a neighborhood. Pleasant Ridge is kind of currently underserved when it comes to those sorts of things. There's a real passionate community there, but there aren't a lot of places that, you know, people can gather and have food and drink.
Why did you pick Pleasant Ridge?
Really, there's an opportunity there. The buildings have been empty since 2008. We have a fabulous collection of historic buildings right at the corner of Ridge and Montgomery. And we saw the opportunity. So there's, you know, with a brewery and a restaurant, you have to have at least 3,000 square feet to be able to make it work. You could do it in smaller spaces, but for what we wanted to do, we saw that as kind of being a sweet spot in terms of space. And we had this beautiful historic building, and there's just an opportunity there that, you know, you can be in an area that's vibrant and has access to a very dense urban area neighborhood around it, and be in close proximity to a lot of other dense urban neighborhoods.
Do you have any idea at this point what kind of economic impact you could provide for the community, how many jobs you might create?
I think we're looking at, you know, starting something fairly modest. You're talking maybe 6 to 10 people. But I think what it does is that it pulls not only just the residents out of their houses and gets them meeting together, it pulls people from all over the city, getting them into Pleasant Ridge, seeing the other businesses that are there, and hopefully we can kind of continue to pull from the outside and be able to kind of stir up a little bit more economic development.
John, is there a ripple effect to all this? I mean, there's all kinds of spinoff opportunities, aren't there?
Well, certainly. You know, what a lot of these brewers have done is they've started with a tap rooms. So basically, they've become destinations themselves. So they brew beer, and Wiedemann's a good example of that, where they've been brewing beer, but now they're going to have their own home space. So you could buy that beer in a bar or at the grocery store. But now a lot of these places have become destinations, and that's, again, what Michael's talking about, too, is it becomes a place that you would go and enjoy the beer, and there'd be food, and there might be entertainment, and then you would walk down the street to something else. And it really does have a spinoff benefit, and it becomes a destination for that neighborhood. And again, some of the new ideas that are popping up are, you know, in Covington and Northside and some of these other kind of neighborhoods where it really will become part of the entertainment district in that neighborhood.
Doug, Wiedemann used to be a Northern Kentucky brewery. It moved to, I think, Evansville, Indiana?
La Crosse, and then they spun it off to Evansville, then to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so tell us the story of how you ended up back in Northern Kentucky.
Well, the last brewery they had at Pittsburgh Brewing stopped brewing it, and then a few years later dropped the name, and we decided, well, it's a local name. It should be back in the area, and we decided... John, or actually my brother John, decided that, you know, if he didn't get it, somebody else would, and they may put out some crappy beer, and we're all big on history, so we wanted to grab it and do something good with it.
So what kind of beer is Wiedemann going to be making? Is there one particular type, or is it going to be a lot of different things? Or,
well, now that we'll have our own brewery, we'll be able to expand our offerings. Right now we've got one or two main beers, our Royal and our Special Lager, and we've got some seasonals, Bock, Oktoberfest, and Summer Brewing. So we'll be adding more to that as we have the capacity to make our own beer.
So describe what the new brewery is going to be like.
It's about 5,000 square feet. It's in a historic Water Tower Square building in Newport, 6th and Washington. And we've got an area we've dedicated just for the brewery production, and another area next to it with a tap room.
OK, Okay, and you'll also have food and that kind of thing. And
yes.
John, that seems to be a common theme, that these breweries are also going to do both things, food and drink. Is that what you found?
Oh, for sure. And again, they become a destination for their neighborhoods. But the idea, too, is that, and these guys know a lot more about this than I do, but that you can brew things and try new kinds of beer and do it in small batches and do it right there. And then you come in and you try it, and it's not really anything that you're necessarily going to bottle or you're going to distribute anywhere else. And so it really gives them the creativity to be able to do things in small batches and try them. And if it's great, then you can, roll it out in a bigger way. And if it's not so good, well, you didn't really waste too much time or effort, and you move on to something else.
Doug, you have any idea at this point what kind of economic impact this is going to have for Newport and the surrounding area?
Well, I think the whole craft beer industry has brought more people downtown, especially as more breweries pop up downtown, and that's kind of spilling over into Northern Kentucky. We've got Northern Kentucky seems to be a cheaper alternative as far as living rents and condos than downtown Cincinnati, so I think that's a lot of people are moving over there. And the brewery is going into the East Row neighborhood, which is a pretty good neighborhood in Newport, we think. And not sure how much economic impact we're going to have. I'm not an economics major, so, but we think that we're going to have some more businesses coming up next to us or near us that are going to join in.
Now, John Mike was talking about how the Nine Giants going to create about 6 jobs, mm-hmm. but when you looked at this, did you take a look at the job creation opportunity from all this? If it's 17 or more, and they create 6 jobs, 10 jobs, 12 jobs here, that can be pretty significant. It adds up.
It is, and again, when the kind of startups that we write about at Soapbox, it's the similar kind of size. I mean, you're talking about a couple of guys who start a computer company, and they have 6 or 7 or 8 employees. And I think what everybody's looking for is just the volume. So is you want to have a lot of these businesses, and none of them, well, I shouldn't say none. I mean, they all have hopes, I think, to hit it big, and everybody wants to be the next Facebook and Google and that kind of thing. But the reality is that most of these are going to be small businesses, and they're going to be located in mostly in an urban kind of area. But then again, you look at what these businesses have done, for instance, in Over the Rhine, and what's happening on Vine Street and the areas around that. And so what's been the spinoff benefit? Well, now there are apartments and condos. Now there are restaurants. There are other activity. Now there's a streetcar line that's coming in. So it all builds. And I don't think any one of these by themselves is the tipping point. But when they all come together and you have a lot of different kinds of businesses, but the key thing I think that ties them all together is it's people with trying new ideas. They're trying something different, and they're going off on their own. And it's that kind of energy, I think, that really is what defines Over the Rhine in particular. But then you take that energy and you start to put them in other neighborhoods, and now all of a sudden you've got that sort of creative spark that's happening everywhere across the city. And I think that's the kind of thing that does start to make a difference in Cincinnati, where we're the kind of city that now we embrace change, we embrace new ideas, we embrace entrepreneurs, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Mike, John had mentioned earlier that this is an old school kind of industry, and you said you were initially an architect, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm still working as an architect.
You're still working as an architect. What attracted you to take on something that's old school like this?
When you talk about architecture, it's a profession of craft. When you start to put things together, you kind of get, it's a creation, and it went from designing buildings to cooking, teaching myself how to cook, and this is kind of an extension of that, beer brewing. And it's you can cook for 20 people. It's a lot of work. With beer brewing, you can make beer for 100 people, and it's a little bit easier. And it's a lot more fun to share a beer than just making a dinner for somebody.
So you're going to make the transition from designing buildings to designing beer?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the plan?
Yeah, I used to get made fun of that. I'd be at work and they pull books out of my bag and I'm reading, you know, designing great beers on my lunch hour. They make fun of me. It's like, well, you obviously, you know, it's not a designing book. You know, you're not designing a book about designing houses. It's you're looking at beer. I'm like, yes, that's my passion.
Doug, what was the attraction for you going back into the kind of this old school kind of industry?
Well, you know, we're kind of the older crowd. My brother John and I were none of the younger guys who were starting breweries. But I mean, we were around when these beers were in their heyday back in the 70s and 80s. So bringing them all back and getting the kind of the old Cincinnati feel back was kind of my attraction.
John, you know, there was a point where brewers seemed to be doing well. There was this resurgence that occurred prior to this one. The last time that microbreweries were starting to become hot, it seemed like they died off quickly and they just didn't catch on. So is there anything you see that makes you think that this particular resurgence got more legs to it?
This is just my opinion, but again, I think the way that Cincinnati is right now, I think there's a couple of things at play. Again, one is I think there's a real embrace of new ideas. So I think the idea that there's going to be some guys that are going to make up some crazy beers and they're going to brew them in small batches. I just think there's a real openness to that kind of concept right now that you know, if it's new, that sure, we're going to try that because that's just what's sort of in the air these days in Cincinnati. So I think that's really driving a lot of this. But again, I just think it's sort of the pendulum, and I don't, you know, I'm not a beer historian, but I think it's the pendulum of that, you know, Cincinnati, as we all know, the history here was there were tons of brewers here in the early days. And then whether it was Prohibition or then a consolidation, and then it seemed like everything was bought up by, then all there was Budweiser and Miller, and there were the big national brands, and everybody thought that was preferable to the local thing. But now, in a lot of ways, that's swung back to where, and it's not just beer, but I think there's this real sense of, you know, a local, something that's made here in Cincinnati that by Cincinnatians, and this is not just, I think, just in Cincinnati, but you're seeing this in all cities everywhere, that there's just this preference for, well, you know, this is local, this was made by local people, I want to support the local economy, and if it was made there, I can see the guy who made it, and he made it, I can see where he made it, the tank he made it in. And now I'm drinking it or eating it or buying it. I just think there's a real embrace of this sort of local culture now. And hopefully it'll last for a while, but I'm sure the pendulum will swing again. And who knows?
Hey, Doug, what do you think the potential is for this?
Well, I think actually with New Riff Distilling, we've got some bourbon distilleries coming around.
Yeah.
We've got a craft bourbon trend coming up as well. And with all the extra breweries, I think we're going to have some beer tourism coming in, people coming in from out of town just to sample all these different beers. I know it's happening across the country, but Cincinnati seems to be having quite a bit more breweries than some of the other cities. So,
and distilleries are coming in.
And
like
distilleries
too,
are coming around as well. So you're going to get people from traveling through, doing the Kentucky bourbon tour that may want to stop in and see some beer, some breweries.
That's another spinoff there, isn't it,
John? Well, it is.
John?
And again, if you look at just Over the Rhine as sort of the centerpiece of all this, I mean, Over the Rhine was the original German neighborhood. It was the place where most of these brewers were located. And, you know, again, you go through different cycles, and I think there was a long time in our city's history where we sort of turned our back on that history. We turned our back on these neighborhoods, and I don't know, maybe we thought, well, that was old-fashioned or that was the way it used to be. And now we're a modern city, so we don't do this sort of thing. But again, I think there's a whole new generation of people who want to embrace that history. So you've got a brand like Wiedemann, or you've got a brand like Christian Moorline or Hudepohl, and these things are kind of cool again. They were authentic. They were Cincinnati. And again, maybe there was a generation that sort of turned their back on that, but now I think there's this whole embrace of that history, and you're seeing it in, you know, as an architect, Michael's can talk about that too, but the embrace of the architecture, and you just talked about that in the earlier segment. So now people want to fix up old buildings instead of knocking them down, and so they want to embrace local beer instead of buying a national brand, I think.
Mike and Doug, have local governments been cooperative with you as far as permits and zoning and regulations? Have they rolled out the red carpet for you, or has that been?
I don't think they can show favoritism to anyone in particular, but I mean, we're dealing with more with national, you know, the TTB and more federal regulations.
Yeah, I haven't started stepping through the permit hoops just yet, but we'll
so
see.
You'll find out. Mm-hmm. John, tell us about the conference again that Soapbox has coming up on March 11th.
Sure. So it's March 11th. It's going to be at the Niehoff Urban Studio, which is up near UC. It's on Short Vine, and it's free. And there'll be some sampling, and then we're going to have a discussion, and it's John and Doug, and then Michael, and then also some folks from Rheingeist are going to be there. And so we'll talk about this topic, the same topic about craft beer as economic development. And you can sign up and RSVP on our website, which is soapboxmedia.com.
And we got a couple of comments. Peter from Oxford emailed. He said he wanted to give credit to Quarter Barrel on Church Street in Oxford, which he says has been brewing for years. And Mike, you seem to know that one. And
yes, I've been up there.
Okay. And then we also had Bill on Facebook who said he enjoys Mount Carmel Brewing and 50 West. Yeah, so
I believe Mount Carmel is the longest continuing operating Cincinnati brewer.
Well, Mike, John, and Doug, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Soapbox editor John Fox, Michael Albarella with Nine Giant Brewing in Pleasant Ridge, Doug Newberry from the Wiedemann Brewing Company in Newport. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.